You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to Hockey Hot Dish, a Minnesota Wild podcast from Hockey Wilderness at SB Nation. I am Matthew Smith. You can find me on Twitter at From Tape to Tape. And I'm very lucky to have a guest here with me today from Habs Eye on the Prize, Scott Matlud.
Hi. Thanks for having me. We were talking just before the show that it's kind of weird that we have two almost back-to-back Hab Wild games because normally they play once early in the season, then both teams forget the other one exists until like March when they randomly show up on the schedule again. So I appreciate you having me on, talk a little bit of pregame and everything here.
Yeah, we're kind of blessed to be able to have the Wild play the Habs last week and then having them again. They'll be playing this episode will be going out on Tuesday morning, so they'll be playing the night of, which is kind of interesting. They're kind of in weird spots right now, I think both teams are. Maybe on different organizational trajectories, but I think they both had similar starts. Yours was surprising, I would think it's safe to say, while the Wilds was kind of disappointing. But there were some players that sort of had similar starts. Actually, I guess we'll just jump right into it. The last game that the Wild played against the Habs, they did manage to win, and it sort of kicked off. It was Fleury's first game of the season that he actually played well. Which I think it sort of put some pep back into his step. I don't know if you know how badly he was struggling through the first week of the season. It was looking kind of rough.
I did, because I remember looking. I was like, oh, I'm going to do a little research before the Wild game. Let's just take a look at the goaltenders. Oh, their goals against are both above 5, and their save percentages start with an 8. Okay, so Marc-Andre Fleury is going to put on a masterclass, because of course that's what's going to happen. And lo and behold, we got Marc-Andre Fleury back on track. Whether people like us for that or not remains to be seen, but it was the only way it was ever going to happen.
Yeah, thank you for that. Thank you for lighting the fire under him to get him back on track. He was actually just named the NHL's third star of the week, which I think if you ask anybody 2 weeks ago, that would not happen anytime soon.
It is stunning what the Habs do for French-Canadian goalies who might be struggling at that given time when they play them. It's always guaranteed there's going to be some kind of amazing performance for it.
Yeah, I don't want to talk the whole time about how disappointing the Habs are. Completely shit all over their performance. But I mean, what's your like overall viewpoint on how it's going so far for the Habs?
My thought is, I know the ride's going to come to an end at some point in time here, and that's okay because the Canadians were expected to be terrible this year, not win a whole lot of games, potentially draft Connor Bedard. I'm enjoying the ride right now because it's coinciding with Toronto absolutely deciding to have a full early season meltdown. The Habs are a fun team right now. Are they statistically great? Probably not. No. Are they exciting to watch even when they lose? Yeah. Cole Caulfield and Nick Suzuki rule extremely hard, and a defense with 4 rookies playing in it is surprisingly sturdy right now. And then the goaltending has been well above par. It's been fun to watch Canadians games this year, whereas last year under previous coach Dominique Ducharme, it was, you're watching paint dry at a funeral. It was awful, boring hockey with no hope or joy whatsoever. And this year, even if you think they're going to lose, there's going to be something worth tuning in for.
Yeah, like it's obviously nice to see Cole Caulfield and Nick Suzuki as objectively perform well. and I think that was kind of expected. Cole Caulfield, I think there was like an up and down thing with him where his rookie season, there was some disappointment. And then I think he flew under the radar with a lot of his performance last year where some of the shine had worn off of him from his draft year. But outside of that, like, do you think that any of the other, like, early season performers are going to kind of keep it up? I mean, like, is Kirby Doc going to be an NHL player, like a consistent NHL player, or is Sean Monahan sort of bouncing back a bit?
I Kirby Doc is the name I'm glad you mentioned there, because everything about his underlying numbers has been really good, and he got promoted to the top line with Suzuki and Caulfield, where his creativity and his reach can kind of shine to open up opportunities for the both of them. And I'm really excited to see what that next level is for him. And Sean Monahan, a guy who I'm like, if he plays, you know, 30 games coming back from injury, cool, that's great. I'm not expecting anything. He went from maybe he's a, you know, bottom six forward to he's a guy that they trust as a top six regular guy very quickly. Doc is someone that I'm really happy to see performing well. The points aren't maybe as there as much as fans were expecting. He's got one goal in the season, but he's got four assists. But he does all the little things right that eventually leads to goals. Guys like Christian Dvorak are going to, you know, bounce back. And I know you wanted to talk about Marcus Foligno, Brendan Gallagher having slow starts a little bit. It's going to even out in terms of Cole Caulfield who's scoring every game and Brendan Gallagher who can't buy a goal to save his life. And that's perfectly fine with Habs fans, I think, because Caulfield's still on pace for 40 plus goals this year.
Yeah, I feel like it's necessary to sort of explain the Kirby Doc situation because some of the people listening to this might not know. But yeah, the Habs acquired Kirby Doc in a what is the Chicago fire sale, I guess?
It's still ongoing, very, I think, at this point. Who knows?
Yeah, they decided to cut bait on a 21-year-old third overall pick because he didn't fit into their rebuild. But it's nice to see him. Maybe hopefully this is a better situation for him than it was in Chicago.
I mean, it can't be possibly worse. I mean, look at the team, right? Somehow Chicago's winning games. I don't understand that at all, but like it can't possibly be worse, right?
Yeah, well, hopefully not. Yeah, I think Chicago's winning by just sheer will and feistiness, but we know that most teams that do that sort of fade pretty quick in the first few weeks of the season. It probably won't be long. Yeah, so I wanted to talk about Marcus Foligno and Brendan Gallagher. I feel like they're similar players, maybe not entirely in their play style, but I feel like they're both kind of the emotional leaders of their respective teams on the ice. And they're scrappy and score a lot of their goals around the net. And also both have had slow starts. Gallagher definitely has the reputation of being a little bit more of a point scorer than Foligno is, but Foligno did have a pretty great season last year, a huge outlier as far as his production went. Gallagher has not been good this season, as far as I can tell. Do you have any like opinions on that? He'll pick that up.
The thing with Brendan Gallagher this year is he's coming off of God knows how many surgeries where he was just playing through things from the bubble season into the next season. All the shortened off seasons allowed him no time for surgery and recovery or whatnot for the next season. After the last season ended, he went and he got basically everything fixed. His energy is back where the Canadians need it to be. And I don't think he's going to be a 30 goal guy again, but 15 to 20 ish goals is not out of the realm of possibility because he's getting to the right spots. He's getting opportunities. And even on the power play where the team has struggled, his shooting mechanics are better after they finally fixed his hand several times. It looks like he's not nursing a serious hip injury like he was for most of last year. We're watching him skate was painful to watch. You could tell that he's not well in that. And the effort's there that eventually the goals are going to come in that regard. And the Canadiens lineup is far from set at this point. He could be up on the top line for a game and benefit from the Suzuki Caulfield domination or take some of those lesser minutes and get points against lesser competition. I don't think we're going to see him at the peak that we saw him, which I believe was the end of Claude Julien's tenure in Montreal. But I do think that's going to bounce back. The Canadians are kind of banking on that because he's got like 4 years left on his contract and they would like to get some production out of that, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I feel like he's the ultimate example of very hard minutes. Every second that Gallagher's on the ice, he is probably worth about 4 or 5 seconds for another player.
Yeah, he gets beat up. So, and the thing is, he does what every coach dreams of. Yeah, everyone's like, oh, how are you going to trade that contract? A lot of teams would love to take a guy like Brendan Gallagher's on just because he plays, I hate to cliche it and you say playoff style hockey, but he's in the net. He's in the dirty areas. He's getting the crap beat out of him most of the time while he's doing that. But coaches love that kind of player. Just like I know coaches are going to love a guy like Marcus Foligno. He's tough. He plays defensive minutes. He's a penalty killer. I mean, I would love a guy like that on the team that isn't Josh Anderson, because Marcus Foligno, I assume, can stop before he skates into the end boards at one end of the ice. But
so you noticed that last game too.
Yeah, I mean, it's my big...
Or is that an every game thing?
Someone, I forget who on Twitter asked, or like, what's stopping Josh Anderson from becoming an all-star? I'm like, his love of running into the end boards. Dude can skate faster than almost anyone on the Montreal Canadiens. He stops about as well as a barge trying to not wedge itself in the Suez Canal. It's not pretty, and it's just something we live with. Every time he hits the boards, I go, please don't blow out your shoulder again. You're getting paid for another 5 years. Don't blow out your shoulder. We can't afford that right now.
Yeah, I think we drew comparisons between him and Luis Mendoza from the Mighty Ducks, because there was a point in the game against the Wilds where he picked up speed through the neutral zone, and I was like, there's no way he's stopping. Like, he is just going to blow right into the boards, and he did.
I'm waiting for him to hit and just shatter the glass on his own. Not hit anybody, just himself, and just shatter the glass. It's going to happen, and it's going to be funny. It's going to be absolutely hilarious to watch.
Yeah, so, I mean, I do... It's tough to say with Gallagher. It'd be really nice to see him bounce back again, objectively. yeah, it's tough with the injuries. With the injury stuff, you worry about how much that's really the reason behind, you know, slow starts and things. Hopefully, and as much as we sort of say that surgeries are a good thing, and they are a good thing, the player's health should always come first before the hockey stuff. It does feel like sometimes when there's a lot of work getting done that it really does limit their mobility and their ability to contribute. But, well, the other thing is, the other two players, we already touched on Fleury sort of having a slow start, and thank you again to the Habs for kicking him out of that rut. But the goalie situation in Montreal is kind of interesting. I mean, I feel like the Carey Price stuff is pretty well documented. We don't really need to talk about that a lot. But the Sam Montembeau is interesting. It feels like he's contributed. Jake Allen is, I guess, the wily veteran.
it's funny as I look at their stats, and Jake Allen had a little bit of a rough outing against the Blues. They won, and in spite of the Canadiens defense basically leaving him out to dry for four goals, he's got a 909 on the season. He's sub three in goals against. Samuel Montembeau has been the most impressive part to me. One, he's not playing with a wrist injury like he did through the end of last season, because the Canadiens went, Caden Primo's not ready for the NHL, and if we keep bringing him up here and letting him get destroyed, we're going to stunt his development. So they convinced Samuel Montembeau just to get treatment and play through a wrist injury that limited who knows what. And he's been surprisingly technically good this season. And Allen has been about as solid as you can ask for a guy who was never meant to be the starting goalie in Montreal. He was meant to be the 1B to Carey Price's 1A, maybe play 30, 35 games to give the actual starter a break for the first time in Montreal Canadiens history with Carey Price there, and that all went out the window, and he's taken it all in stride. He knows exactly what he is in for with this team, is that they're not going to be good. He's going to have tough nights, but he wants to get that team through, you know, the rough patch, and, you know, do his due diligence for the team there. It is very nice to see him put together some strong performances. He has a very calming presence in net for a team that's rebuilding. Not having to worry about the guy between the pipes is just one less thing to focus on. And they can actually work on, okay, what is the defense doing? What can we improve on that? Where are the forwards and what are they doing? They can trust Allen and Montembeau and Nett because they know what they're getting now. And that's a huge, huge thing for them, because they couldn't last year. They couldn't analyze anybody because the puck would go in off of someone's ass or off the stanchion behind them. It's like any weird goal happened. Anything that could go wrong did go wrong last year for the Montreal Canadiens. And this year, it's still not perfect, but they're at least able to break down and analyze, you know, who's there, because the goaltenders are finally giving them actual saves right now.
Yeah, and I don't know what the actual splits are, but I think it's Allen started 6 of the games and Montembeault started 3 yes. of them. I mean, with the numbers that Montembeault's put up, do you think there is a chance that he ends up sort of outpacing Allen by the end of the
year? Allen, you know, ends up injured or, you know, needs a break for anything, I don't really think so. I think they've got it that for every, like, 2 or 3 games Allen is starting, Montembeault will start, you know, 1 off of that there. And, like, they're giving Montembeault the matchups that you would expect. You know, he played the Buffalo Sabres. He's playing teams that aren't as, I don't want to say offensively gifted, because the Sabres are an actually very fun, dangerous team this year. But against teams like the Wild, who have that offensive pressure and can score goals at will, they're going to want Jake Allen in there to kind of, you know, stabilize things a little bit. Because when Montembeault gets out of sorts a little bit, it's like you combined bad Tim Thomas with a child on pixie sticks, and you just get, it might be amazing. It might be a disaster. You don't know until the ref blows the whistle and either the puck's in the net or Samuel Montembeault has, you know, made a whole bunch of people wince watching him sprawl around in net there. So
I feel like you're describing late stage Jonathan Quick.
Here's the thing is they don't wander out of the net though and get lost and then get angry at their defenseman or anything like that.
Oh, so okay.
They might get lost, but they're not like wandering to the over to play a puck in like the faceoff dot or anything like that. They just get trapped behind the net sometimes. So
yeah, for the Wild, Fleury is if it's going to continue the way it has for the last few games, I think it's just Fleury is going to be who he is. He is fairly advanced in age, so I don't know how much longer we can expect a 38-year-old goaltender to start like 50 games. That might be asking a lot, honestly. So, the Wild had got Philip Gustafson in the Cam Talbot trade with Ottawa, and he's a bit of an experiment, higher-ish draft pick, and he's been good. He's been okay. He's been a backup. So it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out further into the season when he ends up inevitably probably getting more starts. So
I was going to say, I remember I've seen Gustafson a lot through the AHL with the Belleville Senators playing the Rocket a ton. Is that a thing that it's just a bad start to the season? Because like I look at the Wilds, like, and I know plus minuses and everything, but like I look at like Matt Zuccarello and Kaprizov and everyone, it's like, wow, they've got double digit points and then there's such a negative. Is the Wild's power play kind of helping pace the team right now versus 5-on-5 play?
I think it has helped them win games. It's kind of, they're in a weird situation. So those first two games, they got shelled. So that 14 goals in 2 games is completely unacceptable. And that sort of inflated plus minuses to a bit. It feels like for the first time in years, they have a good power play. It's definitely been the outlier for what this team has sort of done in the past. But I think it hasn't really made it seem, the power play hasn't made the team seem better than it actually is. I think it was just really bad goaltending in the first few games, really, really tanked them and made them seem like they were a trash fire when they probably weren't. They were just figuring some stuff out. It is really odd that their defensive play was really, really bad to begin the season when there really wasn't much roster turnover on defense, and they haven't changed anything systems wise. They're still playing essentially the same game they played before. But they are also a team that relies on forwards to play a lot of defense because they expect the defenseman to jump up into the rush no matter what. So, yeah, the power play has been good. That's basically the takeaway. The power play has been good, and it's been nice, and we won't ask any questions beyond that.
I mean,
but Gustafson's also been decent.
I was going to say, it's good to, you know, the weird part about the Canadiens this year, power play, terrible, one of the worst in the league. Penalty kill, surprisingly in the top 10, despite it being anchored by mostly David Savard, who is not immobile, but as close to immobile as you can get for a defenseman in the modern NHL. You don't
I feel like that's his calling card, isn't it? Being immobile, just being a puck man.
Every now and then, though, he gets the puck through the neutral zone. He makes the same toe drag cut to the slot every single time, and it works. And then he either gets a highlight reel assist or a goal out of it. It happens like 5 or 6 times a year, but every time it happens, it's like, man, if you were the one defending him, you got to retire, because the dude moves like... imagine a school bus trying to execute like a 180 turn, like in a four-way intersection. That's the way that he moves. It's not pretty, but every now and then it works. Is it going to be against the Wild? No, probably not. Would it be amazing if he did it anyways? Yes. So
we'll be right back right after this quick break.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Okay, well, the last thing I think we'll probably touch on is I think there's probably some interesting rookies on both sides of the ice for these two teams. Matt Boldy, we will quietly protest and say that he should have won Calder last year, but he's not really a rookie anymore. But we do have Marco Rossi, who has struggled to get ice time. How has Slafkovský done?
He's just coming back from an upper body injury that he suffered against the Arizona Coyotes. He scored in that game and famously told Josh Brown to fuck off after scoring the goal. him and Arbor Jack, I fellow rookie, he missed a couple of games, came back against St. Louis, got power play time for the first time this season, and immediately just blasted a slap shot from outside the faceoff dot into the net for what ended up being a third straight goal for the Canadiens in that. You can tell he's still working his way through the NHL in terms of like speed and pace of the game and just the spacing on the rink. But as he's putting it together, you see him make a lot of plays that you want to see from a first overall pick. He, going back to the first game of the season, he was carrying the puck out. He has John Tavares bearing down on him. John Tavares is a very good defensive forward. And he looked him off with a really strong head fake and took off down the ice to help set up a scoring chance, drew a penalty on the play. He makes smart reads. He's far from a finished product, but you can see why the Canadiens liked him. He's massive. He's hard to knock off the puck. And when he's using his reach effectively, he's just collecting pucks along the boards and putting them into dangerous positions. Once he finally gets it put all together, he's someone that really feels like it's going to be a nuisance to try and handle. Just being, you know, that big at 18 years old, being one of the heaviest guys in the NHL, he's going to be a problem when he finally figures it all out in terms of speed and pace of play. Same goes for Arbor Jacki and Caden Gooley. They've had their moments, good and bad, but overall they look like they aren't scared to be playing at the NHL level. There's no learning curve for them. They jumped right in into the deep end and have held their spots extremely well so far.
Yeah, Arbor Jacki also like had the championship experience, depending on how you feel about that, in the OHL before he was drafted, or I guess after he was drafted, but before he joined the Canadiens. Has there ever been like unanimous support for a rookie, like in your paying attention of the Canadiens, like there has been for Jacki?
Here's the thing is, I originally was someone who didn't know what he was going to become. Because I looked at his OHL things, I'm like, he's an overager. His offensive numbers climbing, great. Yeah, he's absolutely destroying dudes. He's also 20 years old. And then I watched him play at the prospect tournament in Buffalo, and then I watched him play through the preseason, and I went, okay, he's still got some things to iron out here, but this is a guy who can skate, can more than hold his own physically. He's become such a cult hero in Montreal already in his rookie season. When they released the reverse retros, his jersey was the first one sold out, which is wild.
That's crazy.
Like, Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, Carey Price. Nope. Arbor Jack, I was the first sold out reverse retro jersey. People love that dude so much. And then him just absolutely ragdolling Zach Cassian brought him to a lot of other people's attention here in the NHL very quickly.
Yeah, I feel like even with Caulfield and Suzuki, there seem to be like splits in the Habs fan base about like how much they really liked them. I think it's a little bit different now, but with Jack Eye, yeah, it seems like everybody was on board right away with him.
It's the weirdest thing. Skill player, dude who set every record at every level he played at. I don't know. Hey, that dude beat the crap out of a guy. Yo, I love that man. I would die for that. I'm not opposed to it. You know, live your best life if you must, but it is very wild, like you said, that it goes from, I don't know, to, okay, come on.
Okay, well, we will actually wrap it up there. Like we said earlier, the Habs and the Wild will be playing tonight. And back in Minnesota for the Wild for the first time in 5 games. They just wrapped up their longest road trip of the season now, which I think is a bit of an outlier for most schedules, but it should be a fun game. Should be an exciting game. I'm going to assume that they're going to play Fleury against the Habs because he seems to always like playing against them. But thank you so much for joining me tonight.
Thank you so much for having me. Always happy to, you know, hop on and talk Canadians, Arbor Jack Eye beating dudes up, etc. If anyone wants to watch my take on this, you can just follow me on Twitter at Scott Matla on Twitter, or follow my other podcast at @LO_Canadians with my fantastic co-host, The Active Stick. We do a show 5 days a week because we are insane people. So,
yeah, this is just a once a week thing. All right. Thank you so much, Scott. Have a good night.
You too. Thanks.